Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow.
Well, we're going to continue our series this morning on matters of integrity, because integrity matters, especially on a day like today. We won't be the same after today. The Lord is developing us in integrity, which is, that's the confession, we'll skip that. Integrity is the quality. You want to do it? You want to do the declaration? All right, let's do it. It'll just take a second. This is my Bible. The truest thing about me is what God says about me. And He says, I am a child of God. I am holy and accepted in the Beloved. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Amen. Thank you for egging me on. I appreciate that. So the Lord's developing us in integrity, the quality or state of being one, complete, undivided, sound, or whole. You might say the state of not being two-faced, not being one way one day and another way some other day. How many of you know God doesn't talk bad behind your back? He doesn't. He'll be the same in front of you as He is, you know, talking about you to all the angels and so forth. I want to go to Mark chapter 12 this morning. I'm going to read it out of the New King James. Mark 12, very familiar passage of Scripture. Mark chapter 12. Boy, don't you love the Scripture, church? Don't you love the Scripture? Mark 12, verse 28. God uses the Scripture to bring you into relationship with Christ and to teach and instruct and train you in righteousness. It's recorded in Timothy. Mark 12, verse 28. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that Jesus had answered them well, they asked Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? Okay, which is the first commandment of all? Verse 29, Jesus said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He is full of integrity. This is the Hebrew concept of holiness, is one. I am the same person yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, my words are one with my actions. My attitudes are one with who I say I am. And then I want to, if I could, take some liberty. Verse 30, he goes into, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Can I tell you, I studied the word all, and it means all. That's what it means. All your mind and all your strength. And then he says, this is the first commandment, first and greatest commandment. My goodness, the church has missed this today. The church has missed the first and the greatest command. Think about it. In most churches, the question is not, does he love God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength? Is it everything to him? Is the Lord everything to him? It's more like, can he sing? Man, he can preach. Boy, the people, they come running when that guy's preaching. We've got to have him. Well, he's got three women in his hotel room. Well, it doesn't matter. He can preach. We forfeited the first and greatest command, and I'm just taking some liberty. I hope that's okay. But this is the first command. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. That's the criteria we're looking for in the church. The negative side of that, the other side of that, is how about this one? Well, is he divorced? Because if he's been divorced, well, God can't use him. I mean, he's disqualified. Does he have a skeleton in his closet? If he's got a skeleton in his closet, well, I tell you, it doesn't matter, I guess, if he loves God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. We say, well, I'm sorry, he just He fell into sexual sin 6 years ago, and so we can't use him. And he cried for 7 days over that stumble. Amen, somebody. He cried for 7 days over stumbling into sexual sin. And yet you say he's disqualified. And yet, I've told you before, when a sheep falls into the mud, what does it do? It cries. If a pig falls in it, he wallers in it. If the guy is a sheep, and he'd been on the planet very long, there's a good chance every one of us have regrets in our past. Every one of us have done things and stumbled and cried for days over that mistake. Shouldn't that be the criteria? Does he love God with all his heart, all his mind, all his soul and all his strength? What if his stumble, what if that thing that you're hung up on, what if God used that to humble him and teach him grace and dependence and mercy? And it was in the midst of his stumble that the Lord revealed how much he loved him. And it broke his heart. And I mean, that sounds like he's qualified to me. He's humble. He understands the grace of God. He understands that apart from Jesus, he's not qualified to do anything. Amen. So here's some advice for you. You want a breakthrough in your walk with Jesus. Here it is. Keep the first command first. Keep the first command first. Before you plant a church, before you go off to Africa, before you start a greeters ministry, before you join the greeters ministry, before you expand your business, before you go into the conference room, before you go to work, let me help you. Keep the first thing first. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. Keep the first thing first. And you say, well, preacher, how do we do that? How do I love God? Well, here's a good one. Instead of just reading the Bible, sit with the author. Sit with the author. Spend time with him. Let him speak to you. There's no doubt he'll take you to the scriptures. I know that. But sometimes he's actually going to say to you, would you close the scriptures so we can be together? And say, I want to let my peace and my glory rest upon you. He told me the other day, Steve, just sit still, put your pen down. Let my glory and my presence, or rest in my glory and my presence, that my glory and presence will rest on you. Boy, I still have 1,000 thoughts in my head. Still going through my head about somebody who stumbled in the past, and yet, well, they're disqualified. Doesn't matter if they love God with all that they are. I'm telling you, I remember what it was. The Lord wastes nothing. Everything's usable to him. He's incredible, he's redeeming. He'll use everything. And he'll use your past if you'll give it to him. And he'll turn it. Amen. He'll turn it and actually use that to show you his character, show you his nature, and teach you how to deal with people that disappoint you. Ooh, glory. Don't just read the Bible, sit with the author. How about this? Don't just go witnessing. How about you sit with the one you're witnessing about? It might do the church some good if we actually know the one we're trying to bear witness to. If somebody asked me to bear witness of Jeremy, I can do it. Now, I don't know Jeremy as well as Lori. Lori absolutely could bear witness even better than me. But I know him. I can tell people about him. I don't even have to be prepared. I can be in Walmart and Joe Smith says, hey, do you know Jeremy Griffin? Sure I do. I can tell him all about Jeremy. Does that make sense? And yet we think we prepare ourselves and we study and we're going through evangelism explosion and we're studying all the Romans Road and we got all this stuff and we're knowing the scriptures so we can quote it all. I hope I'm good enough. I hope I'm ready. How about if you know him, it just comes out of you? Woo! Sit with the author. Sit with the one you're bearing witness of. Spend time with him. Be tethered to him, not the blizzard that's going on around you. Because we're in a blizzard. My goodness. Here's a great question. Where do you count the worth of knowing Jesus Christ and loving him with everything you are? Where does that rate in your life? You need to ask yourself that question. Where do you count? What level in value is the worth of knowing Jesus Christ? Personally. The church, we try all these methods and we get spun up in this and that. And we want to do this. I think if the church really knows the master, we'd get better at communicating him and modeling him and drawing people to him. I'm going to say it one more time. Where do we count the worth of knowing Christ and loving him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength? Because Jesus said, this is first. So keep the first thing first. C.T. Studd said this, after Jesus Christ sacrificed for me, what sacrifice is too great to give to him? After Jesus Christ sacrificed for me, what sacrifice is too great to give for him? Steve Uppel, who is a great guy. He's over in England. I've heard him minister a handful of times. He's a church planting leader in England, but he comes to the States a lot and teaches on church planting. And Steve Uppel told the story the other day, a while back, that he was pondering in prayer. He's spending time with the Lord, and he's pondering in prayer about the churches he's overseeing and their numbers and all that, and how's it going, Lord, and all that. And here's what the Lord said to him. I'm going to quote him. You don't want to misquote Jesus, amen? He said, Steve, do you want to have a church of 300, or do you want to raise the dead? Well, where's that Hammond B3 when you need it? That's a good one too though. Well, but I'm like, well, Steve, do you want to have a church of 300 and ponder the success of having multiple churches, or do you want to raise the dead? And he said, if you want to raise dead people to life, then spend time knowing me. My goodness. Then spend time knowing with me. Sit with me a while. How many of you believe that having a church of 300 pales a little bit in comparison? Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. Maybe it's time to recircle the wagons and shift our priorities of what is important. And what I love about the kingdom of God, when the kingdom and the lordship of the Holy Spirit is preached, the Holy Spirit will open a laboratory and he'll begin to demonstrate to every eye that God has more power than the devil. But we need to know him. We need to know his ways. We need to know his heart and know his message, know what he's going after. So God is integrity. He does not change. Look at Hebrews 13. This is the Message Bible. Appreciate your pastoral leaders who gave you the word of God. And everybody said, amen. Take a good look at the way they live. Everybody see that? Take a good look at the way they live. So, excuse me. If we're here not to raise up sheep, but to raise up shepherds, then you got to understand, this is you as well, that there's people that you're leading that you communicate truth to and teach the word to. Appreciate your pastoral leaders who give you the word. Take a good look, though, at how they live, not just what they say. Let their doctrine, let their teaching, no, let their faithfulness instruct you. Oh, my goodness. Lord, help us. Let their faithfulness instruct you as well as their truthfulness. Yeah, integrity. Let their way of life, their manner of life. Your manner of life is more important than your mission in life. Your manner of life. Judges 13:12, I believe, is where that's at. Let me look and see. Judges 13:12. We're going to look at that at some point in this series. We will get there. But it basically says that our manner of life is more important than our mission in life. How we live, it's our faithfulness that really instructs you. It's our truthfulness that is what you're learning. There should be a consistency that runs through us all. Amen. For Jesus, who, right, lives in us, he doesn't change. Yesterday, today, and forever, he's always totally himself. I like that. James 1:17, Message Bible. There is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. He brought us to life using the true word and now showing us off as the crown of all of his creatures. Glory to God. Glory to God. The Lord loves to look at you and see himself, showing you off as the crown of all of his creatures. God desires a heartfelt dedication and consistency in our living. Can I say that? Does that make me a mean preacher? Because God desires holiness and integrity in our living, our walking, and our talking. Last week, 2 Peter 1, we saw 7 pillars of character development. 1 Timothy 4, 8 spiritual disciplines that produce faithfulness, purity, and authentic love. And one of them, remember, was sharing truth with other people. That's part of your growth and development, is sharing what you're seeing from the Master. And then 9 fruit of the Spirit that show up when Jesus is leading. Thank God I don't have to go out and earn the fruit of the Spirit. I can't produce it on my own, but it shows up when I'm yielded to him. So your instruction is not to produce these things on your own. Your instruction is to acknowledge you have them, thank God you have them, desire to partner with him in manifesting them. And what I mean by desire is just make a decision, like what we were talking about prophetically today. I'm going to make a decision that even if I don't feel like it, I'm going to override my feelings. The body and the emotions will come into subjection to my will aligning with the Spirit of God. Okay? So how do we allow the fruit of the Spirit to come forth? How do we see character development come forth? Acknowledge you have these things. They're already yours. Virtue is yours. Godliness is yours. Holiness is yours. Acknowledge you have it. Number two, thank God you have them. Father, I thank you that I have the virtue of God living on the inside of me. I have the holiness of Christ himself living in me. If you're thanking him for those things, you're not trying to earn them. Because the moment you try to go get something, you just told yourself you don't have something. And then number three, desire, decide, dedicate yourself to partnering with him and manifesting them. And all those things help us in integrity. And integrity matters because I've seen some very gifted ministers. I've seen some very gifted and anointed people end up not fulfilling all that God had for them because they lacked integrity behind the scenes. Integrity matters in the pulpit. Integrity matters in the pew. Integrity matters in the classroom, in the hallways, in the conference room, in the business room. Integrity matters in your living room. Can I get a witness that the family is under assault in America? The nuclear family, husband, wife, children, under absolute assault. Why is that problematic? Because healthy families make up healthy churches. And healthy churches can make for healthy cities. Amen? Think bigger than us, all right? And healthy cities can make healthy states. Healthy states can make a healthy nation. So it's super important that even in the living room, we're living with integrity. So many comments on this last week, so I'm going to give it to you again. The fruit of the Spirit is more important than the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit should flow out of the fruit of the Spirit. Integrity is more important than power or position. Integrity is more important than talent. God's priority and precedence in Genesis is integrity before dominion. Integrity before dominion. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 1 through 8. I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. We've had this given at Prayer Shield a couple of times. I had this as part of this series a while back. My child, if you truly want a long and satisfying life, never forget the things I've taught you. Follow closely every truth that I've given you. Then you will have a full, rewarding life. Hold on to loyal love and don't let go. Be faithful to all you've been taught. Be faithful to all you've been taught. Let your life be shaped by integrity, with truth written upon your heart. And that's how you'll find favor and understanding with God and men. You'll gain the reputation of living life well. Now that's Old Testament, so understand you already found favor. Grace found you. Okay? You have the favor of God in Christ. Verse 5, trust in the Lord completely. Don't rely on your own opinions. That's good advice. With all your heart, rely on Him to guide you, and He'll lead you in every decision you make. Good advice. Become intimate with Him in whatever you do. He'll lead you wherever you go. I like this, verse 7. Don't think for a moment you know it all. For wisdom comes when you adore Him with undivided devotion. Amen. There's the word for this summer. Undivided devotion. No mixture. No mixture. Pure. Avoid everything that's wrong. And then verse 8, then you'll find the healing refreshment your body and spirit long for. Don't you love that right there? The healing refreshment that your body and spirit long for comes from what? Walking and talking, being intimate with the Lord. Because you're made for Him. Amen? Some of you keep looking to your spouse to make you happy. You're not made by your spouse for your spouse. You're made by Jesus for Jesus. Amen? And if your marriage is lacking love, sow some. Especially you husbands that are natural seed carriers and seed sowers. Sow what your family is missing. Or you can fold your arms and huff and puff and go sit in the recliner and check out. Come back and tell everybody you're the leader. If you have to tell them you're the leader, you're not. All right. Amen. I'm preaching good. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1. Why do I say that? Why do I meddle sometimes? Because the family is under assault in our country. We need strong families. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Passion Translation. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? Well, I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be His sacred living sacrifices. Do you know that you're the temple, the sacred dwelling place that the Lord is building? Can I tell on myself? Brother Jeremy, I'd say for the last month in July, I'll be spending time with the Lord. And as soon as I close my eyes in prayer and I'm like, you know, Lord, I bless you, welcome you. He'll put a timber in my hands. There's a big old timber and I can hold it because, you know, it's supernatural. He puts this giant timber in my hand. I thought, oh yes, Lord, you know, build what you want to build. And after a couple of three times, then He said this to me, Steve, you are the sacred house that I am building. I am working on you. Amen. As a man of peace, a man of integrity, a man of intimacy with me. Amen. You're His house. He's building. And yes, we have, right, Roger, we have corporate assignment. And I love that. That's a big part of, I think, some of my gifting is I love the corporate expression of who we are together. But all of us are being built into a spiritual house. We're all living stones. And who's the foundation? Who's the cornerstone for all of us? Christ. Christ is the cornerstone individually for this house, but He's the cornerstone for this house too. Our corporate expression. So I love that. He says, be His sacred living sacrifices. Look at this. And live in holiness. Live in holiness. Experiencing all that delights His heart. It apparently delights the Lord when we live in holiness. Verse 2. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture. Be inwardly transformed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Inwardly transformed through a total reformation of how you think. Some of you got too much stinking thinking. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Oh, my goodness. Lord Jesus, change how we think. Change how we see ourselves. change our view of holiness. I'm telling you, as we pray today, and I know we're running out of time, but you're going to have, the Lord's already promised me this, you're going to have throughout this week, I believe this morning and throughout this week, you're going to have a groundswell of holiness awakened within you. Absolutely the truth. He said, I'm going to do it, Steve. I'm going to do it. There'll be a groundswell of holiness arise within each one of them. Let me give you the word on it. As the people of God, we serve a holy God. Amen. We read a holy Bible. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are called a holy nation. We're told by God Himself, be holy, for I am holy. We're also instructed, right, to live in holiness because it delights His heart. So I say all that to say holiness is nothing to scoff at. Holiness is not a bad word in a grace church. Brother Steve, we're grace people. It doesn't matter how we live. That is an outright lie. That's a total lie. And you're a grace Pharisee if you use doctrine to excuse away all your unholiness. Ooh, my goodness. Did we get that on tape? You're a grace Pharisee if you use the laws of grace to just live however you quote want. If you're born again, the real you abhors unholiness. Abhors it. Hates it. If you fall into it, you cry like a baby. You can't stand it when you nullify, when your actions and attitudes are incongruent with who you really are. The grace of God is a person. And I can't get away with anything. Amen. How you live gives credibility to the power of God's grace that's at work in your life. You say you're a grace person. How you live gives credibility to the power of His grace, the person of His grace. Amen. God's power is at work in you, and there's something beautiful. Something beautiful about the grace of God. Grace is for more than helping you not feel bad when you mess up. Grace is the power to overcome sin. Romans 6:14. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under law. You're under grace. Why doesn't sin have dominion over Steve? Because he's under grace. He's filled with grace. Jesus has come to take up residence in him and build me as his sacred house. 1 Chronicles 16:29, 2 Chronicles 20:21, Psalm 29:2, Psalm 96:9. Four passages say this. Are you ready? Worship God in the beauty of holiness. There's something beautiful that the Lord finds in holiness. And if you study it out, it literally means be adorned with holiness. So He finds us beautiful in holiness. Why? Because I think when He sees us, He sees Himself. He sees Himself. What else does He see? He sees original design. That's right. He sees His child. He sees His creation in the Garden of Eden. That's what He was after, is seeing His very own divine design for His kids. He loves to look upon holiness. Worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Holiness is not how high you can stack hair on your head. Amen. Makeup, no makeup, long hair, short hair, all that stuff. It's not how many feet of hair you can stack on your head because you never cut it and that makes you holy. That's not holiness, it's bondage. You know, I waited all week to say it. I did let it slip. There were a few people I told because I couldn't contain it. That's not holiness, it's bondage. That's fantastic. In all those passages, It's not the bondage of holiness. It's the beauty of holiness. How about this? It's not the duty of holiness. It's the beauty of holiness. God finds something beautiful when you walk uprightly and live in the holiness that he's given you. I'll never forget the day Jesus said, and I was trying so hard. My heart was good. I was trying so hard to live a holy life. He said, Steve, do not strive to be holy. Simply surrender to the holiness I've put inside you. Just yield to me. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:7, King James Version. For God has not called us to uncleanness. He's called us unto holiness. If we're predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son, is God's Son holy? Okay, so we're called unto holiness. This is the Message Bible. God hasn't invited us into a disorderly, unkempt life, but into something holy and beautiful. As beautiful on the inside as the outside. Steve, you and Gabe can come. Isn't it interesting that God finds something beautiful in holiness? Holiness is not a bad word. Holiness lives inside you. And so we need to acknowledge we have it. Thank him for it. When's the last time in your quiet time or maybe driving to work in the car or looked in the mirror and said, Lord, thank you for your holiness that's in me? It changed how you act. Get your belief right, it'll change your behavior. And then make a decision. You know what? I want to abhor what's evil. I want to hate sin. I do. I want to, not sinners. I want to hate sin. And I want to walk in the beauty of holiness because God finds something so beautiful when we walk and we manifest the holiness that he's given us. Will you stand with me? We agree God is holy. Jesus is holy. The Holy Spirit is obviously holy. It's his first name. Do you know you've been integrated with their holiness? Integrated. Guess where the word integrated comes from? Integrity. So you've been integrated with the holiness of God. Galatians 2:20. The essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the anointed one lives his life through me. We live in union as one. Look at that. We live in union as one. You've been integrated. So as you preach and as you teach, as you live as ambassadors of his kingdom, let's walk in integrity. And listen, I know, and somebody prayed it this morning. We had prayer this morning. Somebody prayed it. It was profound. Don't let your past dictate the reality of present truth. And if you're born again, the Holy One lives in you. Begin to acknowledge it. Begin to really wrap your heart around loving God. All my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And wrap my heart around there's something beautiful God finds in holiness. Do you have a word? Okay. Well, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ into your heart, I'm going to give you that opportunity. It's the greatest decision a human being can make. If you're here and you acknowledge, you know what? I've been stuck in this old identity. I want to be a new creation. I want Christ to come and live, cleanse me. Invite him into my heart. If that's you, just slip your hand up.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.